This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I want to begin, inshallah ta'ala, with a story, which is actually one of my favorite stories. That is a story of a companion by the name of Zahid. Zahid bin Hizam radiallahu ta'ala. Now, they say about this companion that he wasn't like the best looking guy, right? So, he wasn't even just average, he was just like not good looking. So, people would be like, no, that guy, he's not really good looking. However, the Prophet actually loved him very much. And he was one of like the Prophet's favorite people. The Prophet loved him because he used to joke with the Prophet, and the Prophet used to joke with him. So on one occasion, the Prophet sees Zahid bin Hizam in the marketplace. And he walks up to Zahid and he goes from behind and he grabs him, gives him a hug, just holds him tight. And Zahid is like, you know, who is it, what's going on? And the Prophet says, he starts announcing, who will buy this slave from me? Right? Slavery still existed at that time. Islam hadn't abolished slavery fully yet. So Zahir starts saying, I'm not a slave, I'm not a slave. And scholars say what the Prophet actually meant by this is the slave of Allah, right? The servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Zahir starts freaking out a little bit until he turns around and he sees that it's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he realizes it's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually, instead of trying to break free from the embrace, he moves further back into the embrace of the Prophet, like out of his love for the Prophet. And then he says, O Messenger of Allah, he says, I think you will find that I'm unsellable. Right? It's basically what he's saying is, he's like, I'm not a good looking guy, you know, nobody's gonna pay any money for me. So he says, you know, I think you will find that I'm unsellable. I don't have much value. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turns to Zahid and he says, O Zahid, certainly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are extremely valuable. He says, certainly, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are extremely valuable. And now, what the Prophet is telling Zahid radiallahu ta'ala is that, really, you know what, the way you look, or the way people perceive you, your looks, and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't matter. Because the most important thing is that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are incredibly valuable. Right? And that is, inshallah ta'ala, what I'm going to be talking about today, our self-image, and how we view ourselves. And first and foremost, I want to talk about our self-body image. I think that is a topic that is an issue that a lot of people are dealing with, especially like a lot of young people are dealing with the whole issue of their self-body image, how they view themselves. Now, your self-body image is basically how you view your body. So it can either be positive or negative. So basically, when someone stands in front of the mirror, do they say to themselves, wow, that's a really good-looking guy right there, right? Or do they say, listen, you're really ugly, like you need to lose weight. Or a sister, on the other hand, same thing. Sister says, you know, if she turns to the mirror, she looks in the mirror, and the first thing she says is, yeah, I need to lose weight from here, I need to lose weight from here, and, you know, I need to start wearing makeup, like, I need to fix this situation going on right here, right? So that is what we would call a negative body image. So you look at yourself, you don't view yourself to have a positive or an image which you view as being positive. Now, a positive body image, as opposed to a negative body image, is when you look at yourself and you feel comfortable about your physical appearance, you feel comfortable about your body. And the other thing is that usually somebody who has a positive self-body image, they tend to see themselves the way they are. Right? So someone with a negative body image, they will look at themselves and they'll have a distorted view of themselves. And this is why you may know someone, or it may happen to someone where they're perfectly, like, you know, they're not super in shape, but they're, you know, they're slim and all that kind of stuff. They're not fat, but they look at themselves in the mirror and they say, oh, I'm so fat, I need to lose weight. Or they'll say something like, you know, 5 more pounds and I'll be perfect, or something like that. So a positive body image, like I said, you feel comfortable in your skin, you feel comfortable with who you are, and you understand. So somebody who has a positive or a healthy body image, this person understands that their value is not defined by their physical appearance. Right? So they understand that their value is not defined by the way they look. And going back to what Zahid radiallahu ta'ala an was told by the Prophet, he said, listen, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are incredibly valuable. Lastly, he would say somebody who has a positive body image is someone who doesn't, or someone who believes that, or doesn't believe that, perfection exists. And what I mean is, they understand that it's impossible to be perfect, meaning it's impossible for a human being to achieve this perfect look, whatever it may be. They understand that, listen, that's just unrealistic, and that's never going to happen. Now, some of the problems, or some of the reasons why a negative body image or an unhealthy body image, the reason why it's become so prevalent now in our times especially, is because of things like the media, and things like movies and TV and magazines and things like that. And this is where basically, like if you look at Hollywood and all that kind of stuff, what we're shown is we're shown the perfect image, right? So you open up like a woman's magazine, for example, and you see this woman who's like in perfect shape, she's airbrushed and all that kind of stuff. You watch TV, you watch movies, and you see like these absolutely beautiful women or whatever it is. So this unrealistic picture of the way we're supposed to look, this is presented. So this is one of the reasons why, especially young people, they're impressionable and they feel that they have to look like that. Right? So they believe that, listen, this is the perfect image. This is how I need to look eventually. Now, the reality is, that even people who are in the magazines, so like the celebrities and all that kind of stuff, the reality is that they themselves aren't even perfect. Like, they don't actually look like that. And I know some of you are saying, well, obviously, we know that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who don't know that. They will see someone on TV or in a movie or in a magazine, and they will believe, they'll say to themselves, like, this is how this person looks, and I can attain that, or I should be like that as well, right? We understand, or most people, I would say, and maybe not most people, but a lot of people understand that they are airbrushed. That's not how they really look. And this is why sometimes, not sometimes, but a lot of times, you'll find tabloids taking advantage of this. So the tabloid business is doing really well because they basically walk around chasing celebrities, and when they see a celebrity out of their element, out of their zone, they take pictures. And then they put them in a tabloid, and they say, oh my God, look at so-and-so, she's so fat, right? Or she's so ugly, or something like that, when this is somebody who's a TV star or a movie star, which we thought was absolutely perfect. The reality is that nobody looks perfect, right? Even these celebrities who have, we would say, like, they have the money to look perfect. More than anyone else, they have the ability to look perfect, right? Because they can hire all the personal trainers, they can have their own stylist, they can spend however much money they want on the way they look. However, even the celebrities get caught. They get caught without in a state where they're not looking perfect. And that further goes to show us that really, it's actually very, it's a very unrealistic view that a lot of people have of celebrities. On the other hand, or along with that, things like advertising. So if you look at the way the advertising industry works, basically it's about what sells, right? And unfortunately it seems that one of the things that sells a lot is sex and sexuality and lewdness and things like that. So you look at a lot of ads and things like that. So you'll see, if you compare the ads we have today, so just take like the last Super Bowl, whenever it was, take the Super Bowl ads and compare it to like 10 years ago, and you'll find there's a lot more skin, there's a lot more like naked women and things like that, even guys, but a lot more naked women. And that is how, like, that's how companies are starting to sell their products. And what happens, once again, is to this young person, they watch something like that, or they see something like that, and they say, how come I don't look like that? Or what can I do to achieve that type of look? So, you know, when I mentioned magazines, same thing. And when it comes to like women's magazines, I think it's quite obvious. A lot of times these magazines have articles that basically are like self-help articles, like how to make yourself look better, how to fight your problem areas, and they'll start pinpointing certain parts of like a woman's body, right? So they'll tell like, you know, the problem areas, so maybe like on her waist or something like that. And basically the woman now, she becomes objectified, right? And by the way, the same thing happens to guys, even though it may not be as extensive as it is with women, but now even like guys' magazines, and I know about guys' magazines, so like Men's Health, for example. Men's Health, you'll see the same type of thing, like how to look perfect, how to get your six-pack abs. What ends up happening is that the person now just becomes objectified, men or women, where we believe that there's just, you know, we have to look absolutely perfect, and there are parts of my body that I need to fix. And this is one of the hikmahs, actually, behind the hijab. So when Muslim women, when they cover themselves, one of the ideas is that You look at a woman and it's not about the way she looks. It's not about how beautiful she is. It's not about how slender or skinny or fit or whatever she is. There's more to her than that. So it's to not objectify the woman, right? So there's more to a woman than just the way she looks. And subhanAllah, this is why it's very sad when you see hijabis doing this to other hijabis, or like hijabis objectifying each other. So even with like hijab now, you'll find certain sisters have like better hijabs, they have like more stylish hijabs or designer hijabs or whatever. And let's say there's a sister who wears hijab and jilbab and all that kind of stuff. So since you can't judge that part of her, what's left to judge? Huh? The what? No, I'm saying not the intellect. I wish it was the intellect. So basically, like if you look at a Muslim woman, she's wearing a jilbab, let's say she's covered from here all the way down, and she's wearing a hijab. What's left?
Hijab.
Okay, so number one, the hijab itself, right? So the hijab is the issue. So what the quality of your hijab, how fashionable your hijab is, how have you tied your hijab, and then your hijab accessories, right? And then your accessories that are visible on your wrist, right? So your rings and the accessories you have on your hands, and also, what's down there? Your shoes. Right, and this is why it's crazy, subhanAllah, how Muslim girls are really into their shoes, right? Because for them, it's like that's one of the things they can really show and show off. And so it's about the shoes, like, you know, how much money I spent on my shoes, or how expensive my shoes are. And then obviously, the other thing that we forgot is, any sisters know?
Handbags.
Right? Handbags now has become, once again, it's something that we use to assign value to ourselves. So it's not about what's inside, it's about like how fashionable I am on the outside, and that's what defines my self-worth or my image of how I actually am. So a sister who can afford like a really expensive bag, she may feel better about herself. A sister, for example, who cannot afford to spend like $500 or $1,000 or $1,500, yeah, there are bags that cost that. Brothers are surprised, but it's true. You ask the sister, or $1,000, or $15, or $2,000, or $3,000, or $4,000, or $5,000. Wallahi, I'm not. Is that true? Is that true? Yeah, it's true. Right? Sisters know what I'm talking about. So, like I said, this is why it's very sad when you see this kind of stuff creep into like the Muslim dress as well. Right? So, that whole idea of judging someone by the way they look, or assigning value to them based off like how they dress, or how pretty they are, or how beautiful they are. Once again, with the point of hijab is to really kind of take that away, right? Just really kind of say, listen, it's not about like how beautiful the sister is. It's not really about how in shape she is. There's more to a woman than just the way she looks. And so, like for us now, our sense of beauty has become skewed. And like now, a lot of times, especially guys associate nakedness with beauty. Like they think it's the same thing. So the more skin a woman shows, like the more beautiful she is. And this is why you have someone like Miley Cyrus, for example. They never thought much about Miley Cyrus until she did what? She took her clothes off, right? Until she got naked and she took her clothes off. That's when it's like, okay, she got popularity and she got more well-known, whatever, whether it was a publicity stunt or not, that's besides the point. But the idea is that we start assuming that, or we start our image or review of what beauty is starts to become messed up or starts to become skewed. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking right now, does that mean we shouldn't care about how we look, right? So even like sisters who wear hijab and things like that, am I basically saying here that it doesn't matter how you look, all that matters is what's on your inside, right? That's not what I'm saying. No, actually, it does matter how we look, and we do actually, even as Muslims, we have a responsibility to take care of ourselves and take care of our bodies. There's numerous hadith of the Prophet in which he mentions the issue of like overeating and obesity and things like that. So Islamically, yes, we're supposed to take care of our bodies. Yes, we're supposed to take care of the weight, but we're actually supposed to look nice and all that kind of stuff. However, there is a very key difference in what I'm talking about. So what makes a difference, like when do you cross the line into getting into a territory where you may start to have self-body image issues? And one of the key issues there is the intention, right? The intention. So when somebody dresses up or they look good or whatever, the question they should be asking themselves is, why am I doing this? What is my intention behind this, right? So there are halal intentions and there are good intentions. For example, there is a statement of Ibn Abbas where he said "Uhibbu an atazayyana laha kama tatazayyanuni." He said, "I like to beautify myself for her just like she beautifies herself for me," and he's speaking about his wife. Right? So he's saying, "I like to beautify, I like to look nice for my wife just like she likes to look nice for me." So that's like a good intention, to look nice for your spouse or something like that. That's a good intention. If you work out or get in shape to take care of your body and to be healthy, those are good intentions as well. Now the question may come up, is it okay to look nice just for the sake of looking nice? And once again, we would say, yes or no. Is it okay? Is it okay just for the sake of looking nice? Is it okay to look nice just for the sake of looking nice? Okay, I'll share with you a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. This is narrated by Ibn Mas'ud in Sahih Muslim. It's an authentic hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ, he said, anyone who has the weight of a mustard seed of arrogance, kibbuh, he said, he will not enter paradise. Okay, once again, I'll repeat this. He said, anyone who has even the mustard seed's weight of arrogance will not enter paradise. And so one of the companions sitting there, he said, okay, O Messenger of Allah, he said, how about somebody who likes to look nice in their clothing and their shoes? Right? So he's saying, does that mean that like we're not supposed to look that? They asked the same question to the Prophet sent them. And the Prophet said, Allahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, Inna Allaha jameelun wa yuhibbul jamal. He said, most certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes beauty. And then he said, Al-kibr batar al-haq wa ghatt al-nas. He said, kibr, said the arrogance that I'm speaking about is to reject the truth or to have contempt for people. And that is basically when you think so highly of yourself that even the truth comes to you and you reject it. And contempt for people meaning you start looking down upon people. So that is the line there when it goes too far. Right? It's okay to look nice, it's okay to dress nice and all that kind of stuff, as long as it doesn't lead to that type of kibbuh when you start to take pride and you start to say, I am better than so and so or I am better than this person simply because of the way I look. Right? That is the line where you basically go too far. So, like I said, the intention plays a huge factor in the difference between the positive type of looking nice and looking nice for the wrong reasons. Now, the other thing I want to speak about tonight, inshallah ta'ala, is the issue of self-esteem. Because your self-body image is actually like a smaller problem, and sometimes this smaller problem actually comes from a bigger problem. So somebody who has like a negative body image, it may be that stems from a bigger issue of having low self-esteem. Now, what self-esteem basically is how you view yourself. Okay, it's actually two things. Number one, how you view yourself. And number two, how you view yourself compared to other people, right? So your own image or your own view of yourself, how that is, or secondly, how, like compared to other people, how you view yourself, and both of these, they can either be positive or negative. Just like your body image, you can have a positive body image and a negative body image. Likewise, with your self-esteem, or we could call that like your self-image, it's like more general than just your physical image, what you think about yourself. So this is more of like a state of mind, and it actually covers like a lot of your life. So instead of just being like a physical thing, this is more about your life as a whole. It's a state of mind, what type of mindset you're in when it comes to yourself. Now, some of the issues, so somebody who has like low self-esteem, they basically will feel like they'll feel unhappy and they'll have feelings of being unworthy. Right, so they don't feel themselves to be worthy. They feel a lack of honor and dignity. And this is why they always say, like, Muslims who have, like, low self-esteem, they're not confident in their Islam, they won't find that izzah, they won't feel that pride and that honor in their deen. Right, so this is, like, the type of brother who, his name is Muhammad, but at his work, like, everybody knows him as Mo, because he never told someone his name is Muhammad, because he doesn't feel confident in his name, right? He's like, I don't want people to know that I'm a Muslim or something like that. So they lack that confidence. Also, a person, when they have low self-esteem, they don't believe in their own abilities to accomplish what they need to accomplish. So whatever like life throws at them, internally they feel, you know what, I'm not going to be able to handle this. So somebody, for example, when they have a negative self-image or they have low self-esteem, they'll go into college and they will think to themselves, I don't even know if I'll ever be able to graduate. Like all these people, they're so successful, they become doctors and lawyers and whatever else, and I don't think that I'll even be able to graduate. And subhanAllah, I actually remember when I was at the University of Medina, an Islamic university, even at that place, there were certain brothers who even came in with that mentality. They're like, you know, there's just no way I'm ever going to be able to accomplish anything. There's no way I'm ever going to ever, you know, get close to being a scholar. And the problem is that would make them just give up even before they have started. So some of the problems, some of the manifestations of a negative self-image or low self-esteem, first of all, like we said, is not having confidence in yourself. Right? So not really believing in yourself. Having a very pessimistic, somebody has a very low self-esteem towards life as a whole, they'll be pessimistic. So not only are they pessimistic about themselves, just life as a whole. So this is like someone who always looks at the worst possibility. Right? So whatever possibilities are, they'll say, in their mind, they don't have confidence in what's going to happen. So they're like, you know what, just the worst is going to happen. Right? So they're always expecting the worst. They're always anxious, they're always worried, because they're never expecting anything to go right. Also, someone who has low self-esteem, they also constantly need to be reassured by other people. So in their own relationships, they'll have this thing where they need their close ones, whether it be like their spouse, whether their friends or their family or whoever, they'll constantly need to be reassured. And if they're not reassured, so for example, you can take the example of a husband and a wife. If the husband has really low self-esteem, he always needs his wife to tell him that, you know, you're really nice and, you know, you're doing a good job providing for me and you're a really good husband and you're awesome and you're amazing, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. You know, obviously we should do that for our spouses. But if that doesn't happen, they don't believe in themselves and they feel like, you know what, there's something wrong with me. So when they're not constantly being praised or things like that, they immediately begin to doubt themselves. Or they may even begin to, for example, in a husband and wife relationship, they may even begin to doubt the relationship itself. And so somebody who has really low self-esteem, they may be in a marriage, and if the wife hasn't like praised him or told him like how much she loves him all the time or whatever, he may start to feel rejected, right? He may start getting worried about the relationship. And like I said, for guys and girls, it works the same, it comes in both ways. One of the other manifestations of low self-esteem is that someone who has low self-esteem, they'll never want to talk about their own problems. Right, so when it comes to themselves, they'll always like evade the question. They won't want to address so their own shortcomings, their own issues. They're in like a constant, repetitive state of denial. So if the conversation ever comes up, you may find this person get like very upset. Right, so somebody who has low self-esteem, they're like, you know, brother, I think you should. This is something that's just wrong. And they'll, instead of like addressing the issue or wanting to talk about the issue, they'll actually turn around, get upset at you, and they'll say something like, you know, what kind of friend are you? Why are you always putting me down? And this and that, and they'll get upset when it comes to that type of criticism. On the other hand, they're very quick to criticize other people, right? So when it comes to others, they're quick to criticize them. They're quick to find faults in others. They're quick to look for deficiencies. And one of the issues really here is it's really to make up for their own low self-esteem, that they really feel like they need to bring other people down to their level, right? So they're like, okay, I need to basically chop people down because they don't feel good about themselves. They want to bring other people down as well. And even like I said, even like in the Muslim communities and stuff, we have like these problems where I personally call them like the peanut gallery. And I talk about this in my class as well. But the peanut gallery is basically those brothers and sisters who just sit online and criticize everything. Right, criticize the whole world. Like, there's no one out there who's doing anything good. Right, so they're like, this organization is terrible. This person is terrible. This person sucks. Like, don't listen to this person. So everything is just negative for them. Right, and like I said, once again, they're trying to bring people down to their own level. Also, along with criticizing people, they are quick to get jealous as well. And this is the type of jealousy where you may not experience the jealousy, you may experience the effects of the jealousy. And the effects of jealousy could be things like anger. So they get angry at you, or they get angry at people. Or another effect of the jealousy is, like I said, you may not see the jealousy, you may see their criticisms of other people. So because they're jealous, because they have that low self-esteem, they'll just sit and criticize other people. Also, you'll find someone who has low self-esteem, they are usually very resentful. So it's really hard for them to let go of things, right? So if someone wrongs them or says something wrong to them or something bad to them, they'll like hold on to it. So they'll hold grudges for like a long period of time, right? They just won't let anything go. And once again, the reason behind that, we can say one of the reasons behind that is, as long as in their mind, this person did something wrong, then they brought them down to their own level. So let's say, for example, there was an argument between me and Zohair, right? And I have really low self-esteem, and Zohair, he came up to me and he said something to me, and I was really mad. Right? I was really mad. Zohair, cursed at me or something like that.
My shoes.
Okay, he said something funny about my shoes, for example, right? And I didn't like it, and I was really upset. And so even though Zohair, he realized later, he's like, no, that's not cool. It's not cool to make fun of people's shoes, no matter what color they are.
My bad.
Right? So he comes up to me, he's like, brother Saad, I'm really sorry. I was just kidding around. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, okay. But in my heart, في قلبي شيء. Like, there's something in my heart, right? I still feel something in my heart. And I'm really resent Zohair for like a long period of time. And what's happening here is that as long as I resent what he said, as long as I'm angry at him, as long as I haven't forgiven him, I continually look at him or I view him as someone who is bad, who is not good. The moment I have forgiven him, in my mind, he's no longer a bad person, right? He's come up in my eyes. So someone, like I said, because I, for example, if I suffer from low self-esteem, I don't want people to be above me. And I feel bad about myself, or I feel negative about myself, so I want him to be like down on my level as well. And that's one of the reasons why people who have low self-esteem, they'll hold on to, they'll be angry with someone, and they're like unwilling to forgive them. Or they'll be resentful and bitter for a long, long period of time. Now, the problem with low self-esteem is that low self-esteem is that it can actually affect every single part of a person's life. So I mentioned like it can affect their relationships, whether somebody's married, you can have serious issues in their marriage. You may find subhanAllah like a couple who's having marital issues, and the root of those marital issues is that either one or both of the people in the marriage, they have very low self-esteem. And this is why they criticize the other person a lot. This is why they get angry. This is why they get jealous. Or this is why they're resentful. All those things that I just mentioned, all of that could be affecting their marriage. Likewise, with our parents, for example, we may have the same thing, right? We're resentful towards our parents because of our own low self-esteem. Or, for example, we haven't accomplished much in life, or we don't believe we can accomplish much, and we blame our parents for that. And that can affect our relationship with our parents, with our siblings, with our friends, all of that. The most dangerous relationship that low self-esteem affects is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why somebody who has low self-esteem, they are very quickly duped and tricked by shaitan. So shaitan will come up to somebody with low self-esteem and say, listen, you're not worthy of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive you, but you're such a bad person. And subhanAllah, this is one of the doors, one of the ways shaitan enters on people, is that shaitan will say to a brother, for example, listen, on the outside, you look like a good Muslim, right? You wear a thobe, and you've got a beard, and you go to the masjid, but listen, you're just a hypocrite, right? Because look at all the sins you commit that nobody sees, right? And so now, if the person has low self-esteem, they'll buy into that, and they may actually leave, they may stop coming to masjid. They may stop doing whatever goodness they were doing to begin with. And this is why low self-esteem can be very, very detrimental to a person's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you basically feel like, you know what, I'm not worthy of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or I'm not worthy to be considered a religious or a practicing Muslim. Right? Or somebody may even like trim their beard or shave their beard, for example, because they're like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, people look at me. Let's say it's like before the hipster time where only Muslims had beards, hipsters didn't have beards, right? But they look at that and they're like, you know what, I don't want people to view me as religious because I feel like a hypocrite, and they'll go and shave their beard. So I wanted to leave you, inshallah ta'ala, with some of the ways we can go about raising our self-confidence or raising our self-esteem. And by the way, the issue is, it's not like a black and white thing. It's not an issue of you either have high self-esteem or low self-esteem. It's almost never like that. Usually everyone is somewhere on the scale, right? So some people have some people are closer towards low self-esteem, some people are closer towards high self-esteem, and it's not constant as well. So that's the other thing. It's not like you're born with low self-esteem or you're born with high self-esteem and there's nothing you can do to change it. We may vary, be on varying levels when it comes to our self-esteem or our self-worth, or even when it comes to like I was saying, the issue of our body image or how we view our body, even that changes, right? So, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm not pinpointing and saying, there are certain people who have low self-esteem and everyone else is cool. That's not how it is. We all of us, and when I say we, I include myself, everyone can suffer from low self-esteem, and everyone may be at a different level. So sometimes, like I said, some people may be higher or lower. So we can all, inshallah ta'ala, benefit from some of the stuff that I'm about to mention right now. Also, the other thing I've got to mention is that we may have low self-esteem regarding certain issues of our life, right? So it doesn't have to be just completely general. So for some people, if it's an issue of their body and how they look, then that's low self-esteem regarding their body and their looks and their beauty. It may be that somebody has low self-esteem regarding their career or their ability to learn or to make progress. Everything else, they're fine. They have high self-esteem. But in that specific area, it doesn't have to be general, and I don't want the people to come out from this talk thinking that you either have low self-esteem or high self-esteem. It's not as simple as that, right? And no one is really immune from having low self-esteem. We can actually go up and down in our self-esteem. Now, the best way, or the most important way that we can raise our self-esteem, and we can feel our self-confidence go up, is through the door of Iman. That is our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody who has strong Iman, someone who has strong faith, they understand, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that the most noble amongst you are those who have the most, what, money, good looks, nicest car, swag, what is it? Taqwa, the people who have the most taqwa, the people who are most conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are the people who are the most noble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the beauty of that is that taqwa, or closeness to Allah, or being conscious of Allah, can be attained by everyone. Whether you're a guy or a girl, whether you're young or you're old, whether you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Your self-worth can immediately go up if you work towards increasing your taqwa, right? So you stop defining yourself by the way you look or what accomplishments you have or things like that. You define yourself and you check yourself and say, how is my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And there's a beautiful hadith in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This happens to be one of my favorite hadith. And this is a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he loves someone, he calls out to Jibreel. And he says to him, "Oh Jibreel, I love so and so, so love him." And then Jibreel calls out to the rest of the angels and says, "Allah loves so and so, so love this person." And then the angels make it that people on earth begin to love this person as well. And that is the beauty of defining our self-worth by our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So when it comes to, like I said, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it really goes back to the issue of like what's going on in a person's heart. So if you want to like check yourself and say, how do I raise my self-esteem? How do I raise my self-worth? Go back to like the matters of the heart. So for example, amongst the matters of the heart are things like your sincerity and your intentions. So check yourself and say, how sincere am I in what I do? Even like, let's say there's a brother who works out and wears fly clothes and all that kind of stuff. He should ask himself and say, even though on the exterior I like wear these nice clothes and stuff, on the interior, how is my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like, how sincere am I in what I am doing? Amongst the matters of our heart is relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So a person wants to ask himself, they go back and they check themselves and they ask themselves, how much do I rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my self-worth? Right? So do I rely upon others? Do I rely upon how many likes I got on my photo on Facebook? Or do I rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my self-worth? Love. Who do I love the most? Right? This, once again, it's a matter of the heart. Do I love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Is my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the people? Meaning if I know that if I'm doing well in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll be okay? Or will I just get really sad and depressed because the people don't like me, or because the people don't think I look pretty, or people don't think I'm good looking or stylish or whatever, right? Love, thankfulness, gratefulness, all of these issues are matters of the heart, and really the issue of self-worth and the issue of self-esteem, it goes back to the heart. And for Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the keys and the tools to go in there and to really work on our self-esteem and to raise our self-esteem. Also check the status of your heart when it comes to the sicknesses of the heart, the other side of the coin. So one of the sicknesses or disease of the heart is hypocrisy, right? The opposite of sincerity. So once again, ask yourself, am I being a hypocrite? Meaning, is it I don't really care about my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just care about what people think of me. Right? Because that's a path of failure. If you're always trying to please people, or if you're always trying to make sure everyone loves you, you're never ever going to be happy, because it's impossible that everyone will love you, right? There's always going to be a hater out there. Like, that's just the way things work. People will hate you no matter what. Like, it's going to happen. Yeah, people may love you, but people may hate you as well. So like I said, checking yourself when it comes to that. When it comes to sicknesses or diseases of the heart, things like envy and jealousy, this is something that we need to check, right? So go back and say, how envious am I of other people? How jealous am I of someone who is better looking than me, or has more money than me, or is more successful than me? Like, what is the deal here, right? And all of this comes under the issue of al-muhasaba, taking an account of oneself, which once again is a matter of the heart, where we sit down and we check our intentions, we check the matters of the heart and the sicknesses of the heart and all of that. Even things like arrogance, you know, ask yourself, am I arrogant? Am I arrogant the way I my heart feels when I look nice or dress nice and things like that. Some of the other ways, inshallah ta'ala, so like I said, the most important way is checking your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Making sure your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on point, right? Number two, that one of the other things we can do is define success for yourself. And what I mean by this is, I think everyone kind of has in their mind a view of what they believe is success. Right? Ask yourself, what do I really view as success? If the answer is having a nice job, making tons of money, having a beautiful house, marrying a supermodel hijabi, like whatever it is, right? Like all of those, if that is your definition of success, then you may be headed to a place where you're going to have low self-esteem. Right? Define your success and say, my success is my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So am I obsessed about what people think of me, or am I really obsessed with my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also, define your goals, right? So set goals for yourself, define your goals and set goals for yourself. So even like with your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be like, you know what? I want to be at a higher level when it comes to my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here's how I will do that. And set goals for yourself that you can accomplish. You know what they say about goals? Is that goals should neither be too easy or too hard. So if it's too easy, you're basically going to get bored of it. You're not going to be challenged, right? If it's too hard, you're going to give up. So a goal should be basically just challenging enough, but not so difficult that you can't do it. So for example, let's say you're like, okay, I'm going to improve my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to start reading more Quran. So a realistic goal, and this is different for everyone, but let's say for Muhammad, a realistic goal is, he says to himself, I want to read a page of Qur'an every single day. Now he knows that usually, if he reads Qur'an, he usually reads like half a page. He doesn't really read a page a day, right? So this is a goal, it's not too easy for him, right? So if he just thumbs up, I'm just going to read one ayah a day, then it'd be too easy and he'd just forget about it. He'd be like, oh, I can do that, whatever. But if it's like one, he tells himself, like one page, I know I don't do that right now, and it's a little challenging, but it's something that I can do, right? So a realistic goal, which is challenging as well. Also, start becoming conscious of your strengths, right? So somebody who has low self-esteem, they tend to focus on their weaknesses. They tend to focus on everything that is wrong with them, all the problems that they're having, and in every way that they're not successful, and all that kind of stuff. So turn, flip it on its head, and ask yourself, what are my strengths? Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I assure you, whoever is listening to this, I assure you that you have some strengths that someone else doesn't have. right? There is something about you which is special, right? And as like the talk that Brother Zuhair was talking about earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored the children of Adam, right? So each and every one of us, we have something about us which is special. Sometimes it's just an issue of us being conscious of it. So I would even say, like, you know what? Just sit down and be like, these are my strengths. I'm actually good at this, right? And then when you find out what your strengths are, work on making sure you give life to those strengths. So you may have somebody, for example, who enters, like, they go to med school, but they're terrible at it, right? Because that's just not where their strength lies. And they come out with a feeling of low self-esteem or low self-worth. So they'll say something like, you know what, I'm just not smart enough. I'm not smart like my friends who are going through med school and they're doing perfectly fine. Or somebody who's studying programming or all that kind of stuff. Well, maybe that's just not your strength, right? It's really an issue of finding your strengths and working on that. Also, remind yourself, and this is also an important issue, remind yourself that perfection is unattainable, right? No matter how hard you try, it is impossible to be perfect. Now, I want you to write down, it's like a short exercise, in your life right now, from the people you know and people you've heard of, think about one person who you would say is completely successful and perfect in every way, right? Someone who's alive, someone who you know. So maybe like someone famous or someone like your uncle or your dad, something like that. Done? Thought of a person like that? Yeah, so guys, like, I don't know anyone like that. Have you thought of someone like that? Yeah, everyone? Okay. That person is not perfect. No matter how much you think that person is perfect, that person has their weaknesses, they have their faults, they have their strengths and their weaknesses, and that's just how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Right? We're not expected, we weren't created to be angels. Right? That's a different creation. We will make mistakes, we will stumble, we have weaknesses, and we have strengths, and so on and so forth. Right? So if you always tell yourself that I have to be perfect, you may be setting yourself up to fail. Right? Also, focus on what you have the power to change. Right? So there are certain things about your life that you cannot change. There's nothing you can do about it. No matter how hard you try, you simply cannot change those things about you. So, for example, once again, I'll give you a personal example. I have been short for most of my life. Ever since, like, the beginning of middle school, I've been, like, shorter than most of my peers. And for a while, like, it really used to bother me. So I say, like, you know, you're a young kid, people tease you and things like that. And for me, that, like, it used to be an issue until one day I sat down and I said, you know what? There's nothing I can do to change how tall I am. Right? But there are other things about me which make me special. There are things that I have that no one else has. And subhanAllah, since that day, my height has never bothered me. And all of us, we have things about ourselves that we may not like. We'll be like, you know what, this is like, why do I have this? Forget about those. Those are things that you cannot change about yourself. Somebody who's bald, for example, as far as I know, there's no technology out there that can change the fact that you're, you know, bald yet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible in the future. I mean, right? But so far, if you're bald, you're bald, khalas, own it, right? Own those things that you view to be your weaknesses, right? And then make them into things that are positive and focus on those things that you can actually change, right? So like I said, there's things about every single person's life, there's things about every single individual, every single one of the children of Adam, right? No matter who you are, there's something about you that is special. That's something that makes you special. And there, I guarantee it, there are things about you that are things that are weaknesses or things that you think are weaknesses, and there's absolutely nothing that you can do to change that. Lastly, and I'll close with this, and I know I've gone a little bit over. Lastly, always go back to your heart. So this one thing you take away from this talk regarding like your self-esteem and your image of yourself, always go back to your heart. Check your status and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really a matter of your heart and how you feel on the inside that will define or that will affect the way you feel about how you are on the outside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.